But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And if you've been a Christian any length of time, it is likely that you have heard those words, and they may instill in you both a sense of honor, royal priesthood, and a feeling of unworthiness. Caught up in the hustle and bustle of daily life, along with its various trials and tribulations, they are easy words to lose track of, but awesome ones to remember. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession. You are God's people. As we continue our walkabout through Colossians with this eighth talk in the series Dear Least Important Church, let's remember those words from Peter as we hear these from Paul in today's reading from Colossians. And that's in chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Excuse me. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Can you beat me there? Have you already? A second here. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Chapter 3, and we're looking at 12 through 17. Do you have it? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Excuse me. Speaking of awesome words, huh? When I first saw the section I'd chosen for today's sermon, and that was, by the way, something I started a couple years ago the series started, so that's when I chose this section as a section, I thought to myself, so few verses. This is going to be a short talk. And although I do plan to keep this one shorter than most, the reality is that those six verses are chock full of beauty and meaning and easily could launch a multi-hour sermon. Recognizing that most of you don't have hours to listen to my talk, I'll keep it relatively simple by focusing on a few points. And if you were paying attention to how I started this sermon, you know what the first one is. What did God call you to start off today's verses in Colossians? God's chosen ones. That might not be near as impactful as a categorization as royal priesthood, but it is equally incredible. You aren't just ordinary blokes. You are God's chosen ones. You are holy. Look back at those verses again. You are God's chosen ones. You are holy. You are beloved. And you and I should think about that as we are surrounded by a world of people who are not, including many who think they are, but aren't. They are not special. They are part of a gigantic herd who are taking the wide and easy way to destruction. Take a look sometime at Matthew 7:13. Not right now. Keep paying attention to me. But not you. You are God's chosen ones. You are holy. You are beloved. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession. You are God's people. Now imagine with me, instead of speaking of spiritual things, we are talking about a literal royal priesthood as the world would understand it. Real people in this world right now. Imagine you were one of them. Would you wear the same clothing as everyone else on the street? Especially while you were acting in that chosen, God's chosen, in that chosen capacity? Probably not. Royalty wear royal vestments. Priests wear priestly garments. Stuff that you cannot find at Old Navy or the Gap. At least in olden times, you wouldn't find royalty or priests in public wearing frumpy exercise pants or with their Fruit of the Loom showing above their sagging pant line. Instead, they would have clothing unavailable to the common folk, something that would distinguish them from the ordinary, clothing that would remind everyone they were special. Now let's head back to spiritual things. We've established that you are special. And here, a bit more than halfway through Colossians, Paul is telling God's chosen ones it's time to don, to put on, to use Paul's words, the proper clothing. Last week in my sermon, Where You Once Walked, we covered how you're supposed to walk. For instance, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk in him. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders and walk by the Spirit. Last week we also covered how we weren't supposed to walk. In Colossians 3:7, Paul reminded us that in these you too once walked when you were living in them. Once walked. Not now, once walked. And switching metaphors, Paul additionally, last week, spoke how we put off the old self with its practices and have, listen to these two words again, put on the new self. If you want to see that, see Colossians 3, 9 through 10. That's just a portion of it. Which now connects us between last week and this. Last week, Paul told us how not to walk, what not to wear, the old self. But he doesn't leave us there. Now, I don't know what you do for work, or given this economy, whether you have a job right now, and my prayers are for you if you don't. But my position involves getting a lot of feedback from those my department provides services, from my boss, don't we all, from my peers, and from my employees. And part of that feedback is about things that have gone wrong. But what is better than someone who tells you what has gone wrong? And no, the answer is not somebody who tells you what's right. I mean, that's nice. What is better than someone who tells you what is wrong? Someone who also suggests how it can be fixed or improved. They don't just complain. They provide answers. They help you work through it. And not by just saying, fix it. Last week, Paul described the clothes we shouldn't wear as God's chosen ones, but he didn't leave it there. Instead, Paul, like a good employee or peer or boss, tells us this week, he describes the garments that chosen, holy, and beloved people should wear. Let's head back to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. So I'm going to assume now you kept your finger in your Bible, and you've got time already to be there. Put on then, again, put on. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. What should we put on? Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on patience with each other. Put on forgiveness. If you didn't hear my sermon from last week, let me assure you that that is a much nicer list to have to listen to than what was heard last week. These, what we just heard, are true royal vestments, true priestly garments. Last week, they were dirty, tattered, immodest clothes fit for self-indulgent rabble. However, that is not us. We have put off the old self and put on the new, compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient, and forgiving new self. But did you notice something I left off from this week's list that was in what we read together? It was something so important, it got its own put on from Paul. So important, it also got his above all. It was verse 14. Let's look there. Verse 14, chapter 3, Colossians, chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all these, put on love. Which is reminiscent of these other words from Paul. These are from 1 Corinthians 13:13. I'm not going to have you turn there, but 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. In Colossians we read, above all these, put on love. And here in 1 Corinthians we hear that greater than faith, greater than hope, is love. Which perhaps is why, of all the characteristics Jesus said would make us stand out to the world, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. And we know from the same area of 1 Corinthians, let's go ahead and turn this time, that this love is no ordinary love that Paul is talking about. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Keep a finger in Colossians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. You there? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Above all, put on love. Without love, you are a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Without love, you are nothing. Without love, you gain nothing. Above all, put on love. It is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now those are royal vestments. Those are priestly garments. Above all, put on love. I said in this sermon, the beginning, it's going to be relatively short. And I'm going to stick with that. I'll skip over focusing on verses 15 and 16 in today's selection to save time, but We'll wrap it up together with verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Did you keep your finger there like I suggested? Excuse me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why should you put on the right clothing, especially love? Because whatever you do in word and in deed should be done in the name of our Lord Jesus. And if there's any being that showed how to wear love, Christ did. He is the 1 Corinthians love verses incarnate. Everything we say, we should say in his name. Everything we do, we need to do it in his name. As John MacArthur notes, to do everything in the name of Jesus is to act consistently with who he is and what he wants. Paul expressed the same thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Or as a handbook on Paul's letters to the Colossians and to Philemon states, this verse brings the section, and he says chapter 3, 5 through 17, to a close, with a general command that everything the Colossians do and say must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, as his committed and obedient followers, and listen to this, and representatives, we should act consistently with who Jesus is and what Jesus wants. We should act as Jesus' committed and obedient followers and representatives. You know, God's chosen ones, a royal priesthood proclaiming the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. One might say, if we truly put on love, we put on Christ. And as Paul says in Romans 13, 14, chapter 13, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Heard those words? Put on. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will automatically put on everything Paul mentioned in today's verses, including love, and you will represent Jesus well to a dying world that needs him so. It is, to use the title of the sermon, it is clothing for a name, Jesus' name. Clothing for a name above all other names. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, and Ephesians chapter 1, 21. It is clothing for a name, Jesus' name. Clothing for a name above all other names. Clothing befitting God's chosen ones. Dear least important church of God's chosen ones, let's improve this wardrobe of yours by putting on love, by putting on Jesus.